Hey guys, welcome to 7 Days of Dopamine. I'm your host, Nirvana Nokwe, and I get hits of dopamine when I feel heard. So I guess it's appropriate that I like talking and I'm doing this podcast. Shout out to everyone who follows me on Twitter. I absolutely love my Twitter people. They're not my fans. We just click and engage and talk about a bunch of really cool stuff. I absolutely love the humor that I find on Twitter. Shout out to you guys. Just had to do it. And I'm specifically speaking to Black Twitter. Hey now. But also, shout out to Rev Fam. Absolutely love, 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 love Rev Fam. How progressive that community is, and especially how, you know, amazing and open-minded Amber Khan is in kind of just, starting a movement or giving a movement a home called the Quietest Revolution. So you guys should definitely check her out. You might be wondering why this podcast is titled 7 Days of Dopamine. Well, for the next 7 days, because this is how long I want the series to be, super spontaneous, super fun. I feel amazing. I feel great. I feel calm at the same time. I want us to kind of just engage on behaviors that can, you know, influence certain neurotransmitters that can make us feel better. And I think it's so crazy, you know, especially in this day and age, for a very long time in this year, it felt very tiring to be alive. And I would say that a huge reason for that is because, you know, of all of the social and political events that were happening and are still happening to some degree, but also just how much information we kind of take in every single day, and how much pressure there has been to have a lot of compassion and hold space for the whole world, which is crazy because you'll find that in those moments, it's very difficult to hold space for yourself trying to kind of externalize the action of, you know, fixing the world. But we've made amazing strides, and I think that every bit of turmoil is an opportunity to learn and transcend. One of the biggest things that I feel we need to acknowledge is how dysfunction is functional in its chaos. Chaos is organized. It may not look organized, which is why it's so genius, but it is definitely organized. We can definitely, you know, identify the things that trigger us, because, you know, I would like to say that pain is an organized thing. Even if the first traumatic event was, you know, it caught you off guard in some way, you weren't really aware of what was going on. You didn't intend on bad things happening, but chaos is organized. Pain is organized. I almost want to say that, and, you know, I may be reaching, but I don't think I am. Depression is an organized state. The reason I say this is because there needs to be precursors. There needs to be things, you know, before the state of feeling depressed, before the state of feeling fearful. There are things leading up to the event that we identify as being the problem, that actually contribute to the problem. And so I was watching some videos on neuroscience, as well as some astrology videos from my favorite astrologer, Amber Khan, And I was also watching, okay, wait. Hold up. Before I go on a tangent about my, you know, my favorite things to do in the day, which is watch videos that are helpful and listen to podcasts and da-da-da. Shout out to YouTube. I need to let you know that there is an amazing, there is an amazing community of people committed to helping people understand how their brains work, as well as how, you know, our hormones work and how the body and the brain work together to produce certain results. And so, you know, for the past couple of months, cause and effect has been a theme. You know, I've been deeply interested and engaged in this YouTube channel called Umsamo Institute, where they basically they take really hard concepts to understand pertaining to, you know, African culture, and now I'm dialing it down to South African culture, dialing it down to Nguni culture, dialing it down to Zulu culture. I think it's the default example that they use in the YouTube channel to kind of express these very hard to understand concepts, but I can say that almost all of us experience them in some way. And so I like things like that. I like being able to, you know, be clearly told, this is what it is, this is how it started, this is how it's going because of what it is and how it started and where it started. And that's the reason why it is what it is. I know I'm not making sense right now, but fundamentally what I'm saying is I like to understand the cause and the causes of effects. I like understanding the nature of cause and effect. And so Umsamo Institute kind of opened my mind to really being more philosophical about Zulu culture. Not just philosophical, but to also unlearn certain prejudices that I have, but also unstructure my attitude so that I may fully attain the pearls of wisdom I need in order to achieve spiritual and material success. So, yeah, guys, that was beautiful. I liked how that sounded. I hope you loved it too. And thank you, by the way, for listening. Gratitude is fantastic for our bodies, for our space, for our mind. So thank you so much for being here. And just, you know, it's 8 minutes in and I haven't even gotten into the juicy part yet. So the juicy part. I was listening. So yeah. Oh my gosh. I say so much. So, you know, it was fantastic just coming across a plethora of amazing people who just love to learn and love to help people and love to, truly understand the nature of life and its intricacies and its nuances, and not be rigid about that, but be holistic. And I came across this neuroscientist called, his name is called Amber, not Amber Huberman, Andrew Huberman. His name is Andrew Huberman from the University of Stanford. He has a lab that is, you know, researching the neuroscience of fear, of courage, and I think of love, of, you know, all these, I want to say mundane, all of these, you know, these very regular things that we experience, but we can't really fully understand. You know, it's like, I think the best way I can, it's so crazy, I understand it through externalization of some sorts, but I think the best way I can put it is through this tweet I read saying that Black people are nuanced and not every Black person is an expert on race. And that's so true. Like, we may be able to account for our own experiences of racism, but not all of us can understand, you know, the grander scheme, or let me say, are able to explain and articulate the nuances of violence in that regard. And so, yeah, I was like super intrigued. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. He's super calm. Like, his, you know, his energy, I don't like using, I mean, I love the word energy, but I just don't like it when, you know, words turn into trendy things to say. For example, GBV. Like, people just say GBV. Like, it's like it's a real, you know, it's a real painful and actually quite destructive to the human race. It's a very painful and destructive behavior that's going on. Bias, violence because of those biases, or violence in conjunction to those violences. Yeah, we're not going to get into that, but I just don't like it when things lose their meaning. And so I don't want to use energy too loosely. But yeah, his energy was so cool. I was just like, this guy, let me say this. I admired his calm. I admired, I admired his calm and his presence. And his presence had to do with his demeanor. You know, I'm so sorry if this is making people feel uncomfortable, or if Andrew Huberman listens to this podcast. Hi days, bro. Like, I observed. And yeah, I will say that, you know, without objectifying him, it was quite easy to tell that this is someone well put together. And well put together physically, well put together mentally, well put together in terms of their emotions. And I have a theory that he's a Cancerian. That's just my theory. I'm yet to find out, because when I researched him, I couldn't, you know, all it had was his birth year. And his birth year, I think, is 1976. And I've been noticing that, like, a lot of people, a lot of, like, my favorite psychologists, and also there's this woman, I forgot her name, she's so fantastic, but she, you know, she used to be in the military, and then she was in the secret agents force of the US. I forgot her name, but I'll definitely, you know, drop down the name as soon as I know. But she wrote this book called Becoming Bulletproof, and I watched her interview, and I was so in awe of her aura, how she carried herself, and of how she thinks, right? So I've had an inclination to systems, functional systems, since I was a kid. I wanted to be in the military. I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I like things with structure and things that make sense and things that I can evolve in. And within the structure, I can feel myself to be free because I'm safe. And it's it makes sense and it's functional. So, yeah, anyway, sorry on that tangent. I'm not sorry. I just, you know, excuse me. Andrew Huberman, I just noticed, you know, there's certain things that words can't explain about people. Vibes don't lie. It's not a cliche. It's real. But also our projections can lie to us. So let's remember that. Anyway, he was talking in such a friendly manner about neuroscience and neuro hacks and tools that we can use to, I would like to say, And there's a reason I'm putting emphasis on I would like to say, can undo, you know, a culture that breeds depression. And he said some really, you know, he said some very beautiful things about, you know, he brought about some very sound criticisms on the wellness community and this kind of new age community. Even though valuable, I think it's extremely important to be able to interrogate things and see their validity. Okay, I have 5 minutes left because I want to keep these to about 20 minutes. I don't know why, but I just want to. And so, and also just for your comfort, 20 minutes is good. So these will get better as I go by. But Andrew Huberman was like, he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, that it's kind of hard to control your mind with your mind. And I guess it's unfair and very frustrating and in many ways fatalistic to tell people that they need to control their minds with their minds, because you're having, you know, you can't even count the amount of thoughts that you're having in a day. Literally, it happens in a split second, not even a second. Like, thoughts, it's just crazy. It can be crazy. Let me say that. It's not crazy. It's fascinating how thoughts work. It's fascinating this, you know, this machine that we have that produces things that are intangible but are so tangible but aren't that tangible. Tangible in the spirit. Tangible as in they can be felt. Sensations, I would say. Things that we can feel and not see but can see and feel at the same time. It's so crazy. Anyway, so, you know, I really like that because for a very long time I struggled with understanding. And I would punish myself for thinking negatively. I would punish myself for feeling low because I'm not supposed to feel low if I want to be happy, which doesn't make sense, right? And he brought about a theory that our behaviors are the things that can greatly influence, and we can almost say control, our mental state, which is a very powerful statement. We usually assume that our thoughts are the things that influence our behaviors, and to a degree that's true, to a degree, but we have the power to insert ideas. And if we are to insert the idea that today I'm going to wake up and figure out what my body needs in terms of vitamins, and then I'm going to do yoga, or first I'm going to drink water, I'm not going to look at my phone. We can insert thoughts that can influence a way of being that can move us into behaviors that are healthier for us. And so in conjunction to this podcast that I was listening to, this YouTube show, I think he was having an interview with Lewis. I forgot his surname. Forgive me. My memory is going to get better as the days progressed. For real. Like, on God's name, mashallah, inshallah, all of the things. I'm so influenced by Amber. It's like she's my older sister. She really is. But, you know, I found it so empowering to know that my behaviors are the thing to focus on. And so, yeah. Before this thing ends, I hope I can get it done in 50 seconds or 40. Here are some neuro hacks that you might not like, but I think you can enjoy to make yourself feel a little better if you've been struggling, and even just to make yourself feel better, because why not? Why not feel good? Why not be on a, you know, a road of infinite wellness that just keeps on getting better and better. So, crazy things. I watched two of his interviews, and I'm going to watch them again because I, you know, there is a Chinese proverb that says, if you read a book 1,000 times, you're bound to understand it. So I'm going to watch it as many times as I can. And, you know, he was speaking about EDMR. He was also speaking about breath work in two separate podcasts. And, you know, those two things stuck out for me, in particular the EDMR. There was a psychologist that discovered that she would feel better when walking. And she, a therapist, yeah. And she, you know, she figured, you know, and I'm, you know, the story, I'm paraphrasing it here, but like, she figured that she wished she could take her clients, her patients walking, but it's not really something practical. It's not, I think, also culturally, I'm not sure if it was feasible or if it would be acceptable. But then she realized that, you know, her eyes would move left to right when she was moving in any form of motion, jogging, running, driving, like just movement, moving. And so it happens so quickly that you don't even notice. But every time you're moving, you're taking note of your environment. It's natural. And so she noticed how much of a calming feeling that brought. She noticed that, number one, she felt good after walking or after any. Yeah, she felt good after walking, taking long walks. And then two, she started to pay attention to the things that, you know, the intricacies that would take place in her body and in her mind whilst walking. And she was smart enough to notice the eye movement. And then she took it to her lab or her place of work. And she would tell her patients to relay their traumatic events whilst looking left and right. Not necessarily with your head, but just with your eye movement. So you look left and right and left and right and left and right. And if you're feeling anxious or if, you know, I have to confess that, you know, I've been kind of, I don't want to say battling, but undergoing a very uncomfortable period of thoughts and feelings that were just painful. And there were recollections as well as, they were recollections of painful memories as well as imaginations of the worsening of those events. And so it made me feel very terrible. And I am doing the thing right now. I'm looking left and right because I know, I understand how much of a calming effect it is to allow myself to kind of just use this tool and notice that I feel a lot better and calmer relaying an uncomfortable feeling or feeling very traumas and knowing that I can just look left and right and I'll feel better. Okay, that was hack number one. Hack number two is, oh, actually, maybe I should save hack number two for the next podcast. I'm definitely doing that. But I will give you a hint. It has to do with breathing. And so I guess we can title this episode EDMR. And this was 7 days of dopamine. I hope you loved it. It's going to get better every single day, better and better. And I will be talking to you tomorrow. Love you guys. Bye-bye.